Q3 investing roller coasters and Q4 projections on this episode of Unlock Your Wealth Today, your life fully invested. Welcome to Unlock Your Wealth Today, your life fully invested. I'm your purveyor of prosperity and host, Heather Wagenhals. And on this episode, I'm making success simple by explaining Q3 investing roller coasters and discussing Q4 projections. I'm going to enlist the help of our quarterly guest host, top market analyst and Way of the Renaissance man, Jim Woods, to help me achieve this. Jim, welcome back to Unlock Your Wealth TV.
Thank you so much, Heather. We're getting to make this a regular quarterly thing. I'm honored. Thank you.
Well, we have for the past several years. And what was so exciting is this summer, we even got to talk all kind of numbers and money on Fox Nation at Freedom Fest.
Yeah, that was fun. Freedom Fest is always a highlight of the year for you, I know, and for me as well. So it was a good time. And as far as markets are concerned, you know, it's been a roller coaster of sorts, as it were, this last 3 months. Even this last couple of days have been quite interesting. So never a dull moment.
You know, and it's funny because, you know, you chose that word roller coaster, and that's kind of what summer fun is all about, amusement parks. And we went on quite a ride this year, but the last few days now have kind of made me think, wow, were we just in bear market territory? So let's kind of recap before we get ahead of ourselves. Let's recap what happened this summer and its roller coaster ride, and then we'll talk about what's to come the rest of the year.
Yeah, well, we started out the third quarter pretty strongly. I mean, we saw a big rally in early July all the way up till about mid-August, actually. July was actually one of the best months that we've had in the market in some time. And then that continued until mid-August or so. But then in mid-August, the market made a turn south and basically continued south for the most part. There was a few jumps here and there, but for the most part, it continued down south all the way till the last day of the quarter. And the reason was quite clear. And this is the main takeaway that your listeners can and your viewers can see. The number one thing that happened in that prompted that August sell-off that continued is the Fed put the kibosh on any idea that it was going to conduct what they call the Fed pivot. The Fed pivot would be a move from being overly hawkish, overly aggressive, to a little bit more dovish. In other words, people thought that the Fed might actually start to either slow the pace of rate hikes or actually like stop the hiking before the end of the year. And there was a economic symposium in Jackson Hole every year, Jackson Hole, Wyoming. It's a big, big summit with all the top world's top economists, business leaders. And Fed Chair Powell was speaking there, and he gave a really brief speech, actually, where he, on no uncertain terms, said, there's not going to be a Fed pivot. We are still fully committed to putting down inflation. Inflation's still pernicious. We still need to take as many steps as we can and as aggressive as we can to tamp down inflation and to get control of the labor market. So they did that. They hiked 75 basis points the next meeting, which leading into that meeting, people thought it would maybe only be 50 basis points. And so they hiked 75 basis points. And then they also signaled that they would be hiking again another 75 or 50 basis points, at least till the end of the year. So the market did not get what it wanted. And the market got a little too optimistic. And whenever the market gets a little too optimistic, you know, reality tends to come in and bite it. And hence we saw a sell-off. Now, the good part about this is when the market gets overly optimistic, people start to, the sellers start to come out. Conversely, when people get over pessimistic, the market tends to come back stronger. And that's actually encouragingly what we've seen in the first 2 days of October. So S&P's up almost 6% in the first 2 days alone in October. That's better than the entire month of September. So the market is, it's trying to adjust, trying to figure out what the next leg will be higher. I think that the last couple of days are a little too over-optimistic. So I expect to see some settling down over the next few weeks, maybe the next few months. But I also think that we could be in for, there may possibly have been a bottom put in September, because the S&P went down below some key technical levels. And whenever that happens, you tend to get some value buyers coming in. So we'll see. As always, we'll be watching it for you.
So your last time you were here, we talked about those three keys to a bottom. So when you say we might have met that, can we talk about what is making you say, I think we met the bottom?
Well, the first thing is would be the technical picture of the market. I mean, we saw the market sell off pretty aggressively. So a lot of the pessimism that was baked into the market multiples is now been achieved. So the market went down to where it kind of looked like a value again. So that's the first thing. But one of the main keys to a bottom would be the Fed being less hawkish, the peak Fed hawkishness and peak inflation. We're starting to see signs of peak inflation because the inflation metrics are starting to slow a little bit, although they're still up high on a kind of an absolute level, but they haven't been going up from the earlier highs of the year. So that is possibly baked into the cake right now, although not fully. And like we just mentioned, the Fed has yet to be peak hawkish, where they're still going to be hiking, they're still going to be buying more bonds. But we kind of see an end game in sight somewhere in the early part of 2023, possibly the first quarter, where the Fed stops hiking and just leaves the rates where they are. That's what we saw according to what's called the dot plot or the Fed projections. So those two things, although we haven't seen the peak hawkishness just yet, so that first key to a bottom we haven't really seen yet. The second key to a bottom was the situation in Ukraine and Russia. That has yet to be a kind of peak situation there as well. I mean, over the last few weeks, we've seen increasing tensions there. Ukraine has actually made up ground on the fight against Russia, but then Putin just haphazardly declared that whole area was his, the northern part of Ukraine, just by fiat, which of course, in reality, you can't just do so. Putin would like something to be true just based on his opinion, but reality doesn't conform to a primacy of consciousness. It's a primacy of existence. So if you look at the facts of the reality, that's not the case. However, Putin is trying to make it such, so he's recruiting another 300,000 more troops, and they look like they're committed to battling this thing out. So that's yet to kind of, there's no ceasefire there, there's no settlement, even talks of that are not there yet. So that key to a bottom hasn't been achieved. And then the third thing is the COVID restrictions and the travel restrictions being lightened up in China, because even though the rest of the world has basically put COVID aside and kind of moved on with the travel and business restrictions, in China that hasn't happened yet, although it's starting to happen. And I'll give your viewers a special present for the day. There has been rumblings that China is going to start to move to reduce COVID restrictions, especially travel restrictions, and especially to the Mecca of gambling, which is Macau. And because the Chinese and the whole Asian culture is big on gaming. They love gaming. There's a lot of revenue to be captured from the different casinos in Macau. Think about Las Vegas, only 10 times the activity in the casinos.
It's unbelievable there.
Yeah, you've been there. You know what I'm talking about. These are like gigantic cities devoted to gambling like you've never seen before if you haven't been there. I personally have not been there, but I could see the numbers and they speak for themselves. Now, Macau is going to start opening up again. And when it does, you're going to see huge gains in the stocks there that are pegged to that. They get a lot of revenue from them. One of the ones I like the most is Wynn Rim Resorts, Steve Wynn operated, created company. And full disclosure, I own call options on the Wynn Resorts. So everyone knows that I'm not unbiased in this situation. However, I think that that's one of the reasons I own those calls is because I think that that stock has a potential of going much higher. So does Las Vegas Sands and some of the other stocks in that space. So that's my free, my complimentary stock selection recommendation for the short term.
Yeah. Courtesy of High Velocity Options, your newsletter.
That's true. Yes. And if you need to subscribe to that or any other services, go to jimwoodsinvesting.com.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's talk about, if we're not quite sure if we hit that bottom, if China's opening up, I think that I thought we were done with Russia, but then we have this little declaration that, oh, this is now my spot. Like, even though he didn't earn it, he is losing on so many fronts. That's still part of, I guess, what's weighing down on us. And it's what's affected a lot of supply chain issues for the automotive industry specifically. So I know that once we resolve that, we can resolve some other sectors that are having challenges because of that conflict over there.
I was just going to say energy is the one thing that everyone, fortunately, energy prices are starting to come back down to normal. So even though there's going to be a challenged natural gas situation in Europe this summer, but we are seeing oil prices come back down to rational levels. Although just this week, OPEC is supposed to meet and cut production. So that might drive things up a little bit higher.
Yeah, the rumblings I was hearing was they want to keep supports around $80.
Yeah, that's the goal. And they would do that by reducing, production by over 1 million barrels a day, which is quite a bit, actually, and would cause a rise in oil prices. And that's the last thing we really need right now is higher gasoline prices in the U.S. I'm in California. We have the highest because of taxation, of course, and regulation and environmental costs. I paid like $6.50, I think $6.50 or $6.60 yes, the other day for a gallon of gas. So
yeah, we're not far behind you here. So in Arizona, yeah. So it's still quite the challenge for us economically. What do we look forward to this next quarter? Obviously, we're going to have to try to factor in a 75 basis point hike. What else are we going to need to be looking at? We're going into a holiday season. So even though it's seasonal employment, I don't think that we're going to have employment issues like numbers that would cause us to be more hawkish. Even though it's temporary employment, it's still full-time employment for a lot of folks rolling into this holiday season. What are we looking at this year?
Well, keep in mind on the employment front, right now there's more job openings than there are people for those jobs. So that causes an upward pressure in wages, and wage growth has not really ceased. And that's one of the things that drives up overall inflation. So the Fed would like job numbers to go down, so that they that's part of their goals, to kind of tamp down wage growth and inflation. They haven't really been able to do that yet, although they're starting to work on the headline and the core inflation, although those are still pretty strong. So we'll see on that front. I think the more important thing as we begin the fourth quarter, and we're going to start seeing that in the next couple of weeks, is the Q3 earnings reports. So Q3 earnings, this is probably going to be the first quarter where we are seeing some pretty challenged numbers. We've already seen from a lot of big companies that have warned that they're not going to meet their numbers. And that's caused some pain. I mean, Ford is one of them.
Nike.
Nike, yeah, exactly. Several others have come out and said, you know, that they're not, that they basically warned that they might not even have, like Nvidia said, they might not even have a full year's numbers. They kind of withdrew their forecast for the year, which is very bad. So if we get numbers that slightly are stronger than expected, or at least meet like reduced expectations, that'll be a good sign that, you know, that there's not been a big contraction in corporate activity, revenue and earnings. But if there's a lot of, you know, worse than expected results, or people warning about the first quarter and fourth quarter, and then you're going to start to see the fundamentals break down, and that could cause a return to the selling that we saw so much in the second half of the third quarter. So it'll be interesting. I think we're still in that situation where the market's got a lot of headwinds and there's not that many catalysts looming. But the only real catalyst per se would be a ceasefire in the Ukraine and peak hawkishness, peak inflation. Those are the two main things. So if we were to get both of those by the end of the year, then 2023 could be good. But this last quarter, you know, it's going to be an exercise in trying to find these gems of information in the, you know, kind of a sea of headwinds. So hopefully that the market stays optimistic like it has been the first couple of days of this quarter and continues to go higher. But, you know, I don't think we can count on that just yet. So it's going to be another roller coaster ride. So I say, hang on tight and make sure. One thing you can do as an individual investor is make sure you own good stocks, or if you're following some kind of trend following plan, like we do in my successful investing newsletter, stay the course, wait till you get that buy signal again before you go into equities. Or if you're buying stocks for the long term, make sure that they're the kind of stocks that you want to own forever, like the strong dividend growing stocks that are going to be here in 5, 10, 15 years, stocks like Walmart, P&G, Johnson & Johnson. There's a stock that I really like called Albemarle. They're a lithium producing company, and they pay a strong dividend. They've grown their dividend. So these are the kind of stocks you want to just kind of keep in mind, the real powerful ones. And of course, the weakness still is in technology, and especially in technology that's like bleeding edge, these kind of technologies like blockchain kind of things, they're not doing well, and they're not rebounding yet. At some point, I expect them to rebound, but if you're expecting them to rebound, you know, fast, I would say you have a little bit more of a wait.
So, I mean, most people know when I have you on, I'm always a big fan of your aggressive trading services, your Bullseye Stock Trader and your high velocity options. But take another minute, if you will, and highlight the differences. On your subscriber call, what was it, a week or so ago, you had this very eloquent way that you described the differences between successful investing and intelligence report. And I think that right now, with people, uncertainties, and we're still waiting earnings, and is the economy contracting? We really don't know where we are. What are some of those things that we can do strategically to bolster our portfolios and weather any storm. And I think that these two publications are probably the most appropriate advice right now as we're thinking about it. And can you just share the differences between the two?
Yeah, sure. I'd be happy to. So as you mentioned, the trading services, high velocity options, and Bullseye Stock Trader, also Fast Money Alert. These are all designed to take advantage of, you know, the current conditions in the market, what might happen in the next 2 weeks to, you know, 2-3 months kind of thing. We buy and hold for the, we buy these stocks and we trade them in the short term. So that's all taking advantage. I mean, sometimes we'll take care of advantage of things on the downside with call with put options, or we'll do an inverse fund, something like that. So all of these things are the short-term trading things, and those are great for getting alpha. But most people, if most people don't actually trade short-term, but if they did trade short-term, they also have long-term money. So right now you kind of have to think about the long-term money. So the two main services that I have that are designated specifically for longer term holding positions for retirement investing. The first one I have is called Successful Investing, and you mentioned that already. That is based on a trend following plan that we've had in place for almost 40 years now. So it's designed to get you in the market when the market has a material trend higher, but then out of the market as the market begins a material trend lower. Now, when I say material trend, that means like a long-term breakdown of the major indices, say below their 200-day moving average. It's a little more complicated than that, but it's basically if the market descends below a certain key market level, like a trend following level, 200-day, 39-week average is what we actually use, then we're in what's called a sell mode or sell signal. Now, in that newsletter and in the Successful Investing newsletter, we were in stocks for several years. And earlier this year, on January 21st, to be exact, we got a sell signal in the markets that told us that the long-term trend in the market was headed lower. So what's happened since January in the markets? We're down about 30% in the NASDAQ 100, 30% in the NASDAQ composite, about 25-26% in the S&P 500, even lower in the Russell 2000. International stocks are way lower than that, 30-40% below that level. So by getting out of the market on January 21st, we managed to sidestep this entire selling period. And we did it. I didn't know that the market would continue to go lower. I just knew that by following the rules of the plan that we're going to be out of stocks in July, on January 21st. Now, I thought we would probably be getting back into stocks maybe like in March or April, but the market told me no. The market said, no, we're still in for a lot of pain. And there was one point where we actually were very, very close to an additional allocation to stocks right around mid-July, but then the market pulled back again, so we did not get that buy signal. So that goes to show you, like, if you're disciplined and you want to make sure that you avoid all the downturns, then Successful Investing is the type of service for you. Now, some people don't want to try to time the market like that. They don't think it's possible, or they don't feel comfortable with that. They'd rather just own good stocks for the long term. And that's where the intelligence report comes in, because the intelligence report is kind of the flip side of that. So what we do is we want to own, as I mentioned before, we want to own all of the, or a basket of some of the best stocks out there, the best of breed companies, I call them. Stocks that are still earning money, big earnings, have large cap stocks, paying strong dividends, paying a good dividend yield, and increasing their dividend every year. So I mentioned some of them already: McDonald's, Procter & Gamble, Walmart, Lowe's, Albemarle, Johnson & Johnson, even Texas Instruments is one of the stocks that I like in that field. So you can get more information by checking out jimwoodsinvesting.com on those particular portfolios. But the key here is to continue to invest for the long term and in these stocks. Now, these stocks have not been immune to the pullback that we've seen over the last, since early January. However, if you continue to own them and average into them at these levels every month, put buy these stocks, you're going to get even better prices overall. Your cost basis is going to be even more attractive. So when you do get ready to sell them in the, you know, the next 5, 10, 15 years, or you get ready to pass them down to your heirs, you're going to have a lot of wealth there, because these are the kind of companies that deliver for you. So when we change these things from time to time, if circumstances dictate, but for the most part, you want to own the best companies out there. And that's the main difference between those two long-term services.
Well, thank you for taking the time to explain that, because I think those publications are relevant for folks that aren't wanting to be speculative, but they still want to be doing something with their money. I think that that's what's great, is you have different advisory services that address different styles of investing. So you've got a little something for everyone, so to speak. So give that website once again for individuals who are interested in finding out more about the different publications you offer, and to get your weekly Deep Woods free e-letter, which comes out Wednesdays.
Yes. Thank you. Okay. So it's quite simple. JimWoodsInvesting.com. And that's kind of the hub. You can sign up for the free e-letter. It's called the Deep Woods, as you just mentioned. And I encourage you to do that, because it's free and you'll have fun reading it. I know I have fun writing it. So, you'll get all the there's all the information about the trading service and the long-term newsletters there, and some special reports that you can get as well. So I encourage everyone to do so. If they watch your show, then we know that they're a sophisticated viewer, so they'll enjoy it.
Well, thank you very much for that. And thank you so much for being a part of today's show. And for those of you without a pencil, never fear, unlockyourwealthtoday.com is here, where you can visit Jim's show page, get the links to all of his great resources, and so much more. For my guest, Jim Woods, I'm Heather Wagenhals, and I'm making success simple for you. Now go out and unlock your wealth today.
UnlockYourWealthToday.com is produced by Heather Wagenhals and the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation. Unlock Your Wealth Today and affiliated brands are copyrighted 2022 by Heather Wagenhals, all rights reserved. For more information about the Keys to Riches financial philosophy or this week's free strategy, please visit UnlockYourWealthToday.com.